الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحج أشهر معلومات، فمن فرض فيهن الحج فلا رفث ولا فسوق ولا جدال في الحج، وما تفعلوا من خير يعلمه الله، وتزودوا فإن خير الزاد التقوى، واتقون يا أولي الألباب. صدق الله العظيم. Respected elders and friends, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise is due to Allah Rabbul Izzah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His infinite grace and mercy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with this wealth of iman. And it is because obviously of this wealth of iman that today we have gathered here, and Muslims and those that believe in this kalima have gathered throughout the globe in various parts for this Mubarak Salah on this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah. Indeed, it may seem something that is trivial, something that we daily we ascribe to, and we know that we believe in this kalima. But this kalima is something that has defined our life and has given us direction. For had it not been for this kalima and the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we don't know which ideology we may be subscribing to, or which faith and creed we may have believed in. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Majid, يَمُنُّونَ عَلَيْكَ أَنْ أَسْلَمُوا قُلْ لَا تَمُنُّوا عَلَيَّ إِسْلَامَكُمْ بَلِلَّهُ يَمُنُّ عَلَيْكُمْ أَنْ هَدَاكُمْ لِلْإِيمَانِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Some Bedouins had just accepted Islam, and they had come to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they felt that they being believers in this kalima, in their accepting the risalat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they felt that they had done some kind of a favor to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they had come before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they had expressed this to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, thinking that they had done the Nabi of Allah a favor. Upon this, Allah had revealed His ayat, يَمُنُّونَ عَلَيْكَ أَنْ أَسْلَمُوا, that they think that their accepting Islam will benefit you, is a kind of favor towards you. قُلْ, say to them, O Nabi of Allah, لَا تَمُنُّوا عَلَيَّ إِسْلَامَكُمْ, do not think that your Islam is any favor to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. بَلِ اللَّهُ يَمُنُّ عَلَيْكُمْ أَنْ هَدَاكُمْ لِلْإِيمَانِ, rather it is the favor of Allah upon you that Allah has opened your heart to accept this kalima. So it is a very great thing. Time and again we repeat this. But as Hazrat Maulana Yunus Sahib mentioned, that deen is such that a person cannot see that I am tired of it. Na'udhu billah. Allah says in the Quran Majid, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, that remind one another. That means a person will constantly be reminded of different aspects of deen. فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, this reminding and this reminders, these reminders, they are beneficial for a believer. Ulama have mentioned on this ayat that reminder is beneficial for the believer. If a person feels, whenever he hears or he reads something about deen, about Islam, about the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he feels a kind of, na'uzu billah, boredom towards it, or a complacency that I know this already, then they say that there is fear of very great deficiency in a person's iman. For Allah has mentioned that a reminder will benefit a believer, and if a person feels that this is not beneficial to me, then there is a great deficiency in his iman. Nevertheless, the uncle of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well, when he had, the time had come for him to leave this world, there also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayat, إنك لا تهدي من أحببت ولكن الله يهدي من يشاء. That, O Nabi of Allah, you cannot give hidayat to whomsoever you wish and whomsoever you desire. Yes, it is incumbent upon you and your ummah that you will call towards this kalima. But the hidayat and the acceptance of this kalima, this is in total control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is in the same spirit of this iman that we find, alhamdulillah, millions from around the world, they throng and they go towards and proceed towards Makkah Mukarrama with the intention of Hajj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a beautiful deen, and it is not just a mere religion. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a complete way of life. So much so that Sahaba even mentioned that to the extent of even going to relieve oneself, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us guidelines. Every facet of a person's life has been covered. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes us gradually. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran Majid, إِنَّ عِدَّةَ الشُّهُورِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ 12 شَهْرًا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you these 12 months from the inception of this earth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions مِنْهَا أَرْبَعَةٌ حُرُمْ. Then amongst them there are those that are sacred. The four that are sacred, apart from Ramadan, which has its own speciality and virtue because of the Quran and Majid being revealed in it. One is Muharram, and immediately after Ramadan come the remainder three. That is Shawwal, Dhul-Qa'dah, and Dhul-Hijjah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes us to a beautiful process and system that a person's iman at all times, there is something for him to look forward to. The month of Ramadan had come and we felt that spiritual upliftment. And no sooner was the moon of Eid sighted, we entered into Shawwal. And in the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the months of Hajj commence from Shawwal. If a person desires to perform Hajj, and he ties his ihram from the first of Shawwal, this is permissible. Especially in the past, it would take them many months, and it would take them some time to proceed for Hajj, and people would tie the ihram and proceed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given auspiciousness to these months. Hajj is such a thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, from these months that are so great and auspicious, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran Majid, وَالْفَجْرِ وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ. In the 30th juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes qasam, and he takes a qasam by these 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, the first 10 days. Now we must understand, one is when we take a qasam, that is because we want to show our truthfulness in what we are saying. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no need for him to take any qasam to show this. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he takes a qasam, it is to show the sanctity, it is to show the greatness of that particular thing upon which a qasam was taken. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes a qasam by the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. And so auspicious are these days. It is mentioned in the hadith. This hadith is mentioned in Bukhari Sharif in Kitab al-Idain, that we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of his attributes and names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Shakur. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so loving and kind that he is our Malik, he is our Khalik, and it is incumbent upon us to obey him. But Allah himself says that, O my banda, whatever ibadat you will make and whichever form of worship you will present before me, I am shakur, I am grateful for it. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it does not increase his grandeur or his khazana and his treasures in the least, but to give us a kind of incentive. Because we know if there is an employer and there is someone one of his staff, one of his employees, is such that he goes out of his way, or he carries out his duty as he ought to. And if this employer is a person who is one who expresses gratitude and is a grateful person, then within his means he will reward this person and this employee of his. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after explaining to us his power and his grandeur and his qudrat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he is shakur. And if a person becomes an obedient banda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah who it, there is no change in his treasures, if he is grateful and he is appreciative of what we do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what kind of happiness he will give us in this world. Nevertheless, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sifat of being shakur and being appreciative towards one, his bandas, ibadat, he mentions Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that in these first 10 days, in no other days besides these 10 days, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so grateful for the ibadat that is rendered to him, whether it is faraz, whether it is nafil, whether it is sadaqah also. Meaning that together with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving that incentive and showing that he is grateful for what his banda is doing, Allah is giving us encouragement and targheeb that in these first 10 days of Zulhijjah, let us apply ourselves even more. There shouldn't even be the thought of any kind of guna. Rather, a person should look forward to it. And sometimes it is due to our lack of knowledge. Sometimes it is because we are not reminded of the virtues of these 10 days. We tend to let these 10 days pass without us taking maximum benefit of it. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned an ajeeb hadith. We know that to fast in the month of Ramadan, alhamdulillah, but ask a person to fast the entire year, it will become something that a person cannot even understand. But for these 10 days, the first, from the first till the 10th, obviously excluding the day of Eid, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that a person who will fast on any one of these days, the fasting on one of these days is equivalent to fasting 1 year. So that means if a person has to keep the fast for 9 days, then he will get the thawab of fasting for 9 years. And obviously, in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not send us here. This is Darul A'mal, and the Akhirat is Darul Jaza. That we will not see the thawab and reward in this world. But these are the investments of those that have iman in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in the unseen. Because when a person will pass away, and then he may have thought that I have not done much ibadat, etc., but then his book of deeds will be given to him. He will be shown 9 years or 5 years or whatever amount of years of fasting. He will ask Allah, oh Allah, I did not fast so much. But then we will realize the greatness of the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for these auspicious days. Together with that, this riwayat is mentioned in Mishkat Sharif and Ghaliban Ibn Majah also, that we know in the month of Ramadan, itikaf is spent, and we spend those last 10 days in the masjid seeking Laylatul Qadr. Laylatul Qadr khayrun min alfi shahr, better than 1,000 months. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is something that is encouraged, a person should do it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had done so. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for weak ones like us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, so to say, made it even easier. That if you haven't been able to do this, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us a guarantee. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, every night of these first 10 nights of Zulhijjah that is spent in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every night a person will get the equivalent of Laylatul Qadr. This is such a great reward that a person knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has fixed the thawab. Let us all make niyat, inshallah, that we will await these first 10 days and we will maximize on the rewards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised. With regards to the Hajj, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned, Al-Hajju Arafah, that the greatest day and the highlight of Hajj is on that 9th of Zulhijjah, when the Hujjaj, they stand on the plains of Arafah, and they stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seeking forgiveness, crying before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is on this day, in one riwayat it is mentioned, that shaitan observes the hujjaj from a distance, and he pours sand over himself, and that is the day that he feels the most despicable, the most annoyed, the most disappointment he experiences on that day. The reason being, he sees the maghfirat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descending upon these people, upon these hujjaj, and all his koshish and effort that he made for that entire lifetime of theirs, everything in just a matter of few hours, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cleans that entire slate, and a person, all his gunas are maaf. Such a great day. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of his mercy, for those also that could not have made it for that hajj, wherever a person may be, the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, that together with the 1 year sawab of fasting, if a person will fast on the day of Arafah, that is the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, on the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, a person, if he keeps fast, then 1 year's sin before the prior year, the year that had passed, that is forgiven. In the coming year also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives the person's sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this out of his mercy. He is looking for an excuse to forgive us. Obviously, it would be only the trick of shaitan again, and the whispering of one's nafs to himself, that a person feels that now I will fast on the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, and I've got license, na'uzu billah, to know. This is to show us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to keep a person away from guna. Yes, there is some explanation that these forgiveness of sins, what is meant by it are the minor sins, and if a person has committed some major guna, a person has committed zina, etc., then a person obviously has to ask for tawbah. But Allah's mercy is such that Allah knows what is in our hearts. And if we keep that fast on the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah and we say, oh Allah, I know that the hadith is saying for the minor sins, and for the major sins I have to make tawbah. So with this fast, I am making this intention that, oh Allah, forgive me, I am asking for maghfirat. Forgive me through the barakat of this fast for my major sins also. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive a person. When it comes, we've got a few minutes left, when it comes to the aspect of hajj, ulama have mentioned so many different aspects of it. There is qurbani also, where if a person, when he makes qurbani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that action so much, that before the blood also of that sheep touches, or that whatever a person is offering as qurbani, before it touches the ground, all a person's sins are forgiven. On the day of qiyamah, that animal, whether it is of wool or whether it is of fibers of hair, that will be weighed with everything, and it will be added to a person's account. But there is one glaring factor which, unfortunately, shaitan today, in this advanced, so to say, age of technology, etc., where people unfortunately have now, it has become a kind of a scourge that people now rely on their intellect and their reasoning before they make amal on the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we look at this entire ibadat of hajj, that a person has to be at a certain place on a certain time, he has to dress in a certain fashion, he has to wear certain things, he cannot wear certain things. What he was normally allowed to do, he cannot do now. There are so many restrictions and there are so many guidelines. And looking at the act of qurbani itself, from its origination, when Ibrahim ala nabiyina alayhi salam, when he was commanded to sacrifice his son, he did not question the reasoning and the hikmat and wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that, oh Allah, why should I do this? Rather, Ibrahim alayhi salam willingly was prepared to do this because it was the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unfortunately, it seems that when a person's iman becomes weak, or a person becomes complacent with his own intelligence, sometimes a person tends to feel that I can understand the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the wisdom behind this? If I understand the wisdom and the logic, then I will make amal. Na'udhu billah. This is the way of shaitan. When Allah commanded him to make sajda to Adam alayhi salam, then he couldn't understand the reasoning. He put logic and said that fire is greater than sand. أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْ خَلَقْتَنِي مِّنْ نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِّنْ تِينٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala despises this so much, where a person questions Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he was rejected forever and ever. So like that, we must, if we want to to analyze it and to bring it on a closer analogy where we can understand it. If a person has a child, and everything that the father tells the child, that do this, the child says, why must we? Don't do this, why I mustn't do it? Everything, if a person is to question the father, which father will say, explain each reason? The father's wisdom is far beyond the child's reasoning. The child has to understand, my father knows what is best for me, that is why I should just listen. Sometimes if it's a father who is quite concerned about the discipline also sometimes, if the son keeps asking why also, then the son might get one nice tamasha from him or something, to discipline him that you don't ask me why. As it is mentioned that when Allah gives the hukam, when Ali mentioned, then don't ask who and why. Just do and die. That is the attitude we should have towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because how can we understand the wisdom and hikmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is hakim, and every koi kaam unka hikmat se khali nahi. That there is nothing and no order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which is void of hikmat. We being believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to accept this. And sometimes that is the test itself. That as a true slave, will a slave question the master? After the master has given so much, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us everything. And now who are we to question the wisdom behind the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If Allah has made the Maghrib Salah 3 rakats, then no person in the world can say that, no, what is the harm of making it an even number, and I will read 4 rakats, the salah won't be accepted. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He gives all of us the tawfiq of amal, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the hajj of all the hujjaj, and also include us in the duas. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.